Joel, have you seen the new Pennsylvania license plates yet, by chance?
I have not, no.
They've got the Liberty Bell on them, and they're a little bit more complex with the design. Walking in today, there was a car in the parking lot, first time I've seen the new PA license plates. And I guess if you get a new license plate, the current PA plate is going to be phased out, I believe. Which sucks, because I always enjoyed the simplicity of the blue and the yellow and the white in the Pennsylvania plate.
And even like the older, you could tell what's an older one from a newer one. Now they're all going to be the same.
Yep. So that's how we're starting this show. Alrighty. Well, you heard Mike Tomlin right off the top suggest that nobody's going to play on Saturday in the preseason home game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The only home preseason game the Steelers have ahead of the 2025 season. And I guess, right? And I had talked about this when I was on the air Sunday. I've had a hard time figuring out how teams handle the preseason slate now with three games as opposed to four. Like, if you go back and look at some of the four-game preseasons, the dress rehearsal where the ones are out there for the large chunk of the first part of the game, that's in game three of the preseason. And then the fourth of four was all the backups and future bartenders of America. Now, you'd think that, like, if you want to sandwich it in the middle of the preseason, you'd think that it would be on Saturday, right? Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the second preseason game of three for the Steelers, obviously, this season. You'd think that, especially with the joint practice, which we'll get into a whole bunch tonight as well, you'd think that the dress rehearsal would be tonight. But sometimes that's not the case. And a lot of teams, you know, it just kind of obviously depends on who's running the team and their thought process with the preseason. But obviously Mike Tomlin saying today that what you saw against Jacksonville last Saturday is what you are going to get this Saturday at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if you're like Charlie Borges and you're going to the game on Saturday night, don't expect to see an Aaron Rodgers to DK Metcalf connection. Don't expect to see any of the first team defense and the new guys in the secondary flying around out there. It ain't going to happen. Third preseason game in Carolina, TBD. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if you don't see Aaron Rodgers at all in the preseason. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name is Jack Hillgrove. It is The Fan Evening Show, and we have a good one for you tonight. Really fired up to get into some sports talk with you this evening. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the talk of the town, especially after today and the joint practice with Tampa Bay, in which the first team offense, or the offense in general, just kicked Tampa Bay's ass in seven shots. Because it was closed to the public, the credentialed media in attendance today had to follow the in-season rules of reporting, which are no video. So there was no video of anything that you would see maybe during training camp. And they can only report on things once a player or a coach confirms it happens. So, like, if DK Metcalf made some, like, Odell Beckham, you like that pun that I used there? We'll get to that in a moment, too, later on in the show. If DK Metcalf made some ridiculous one-handed OBJ-like grab, you can't say that it happened until either Mike Tomlin or DK himself or the defensive back acknowledges that it happened in a media interview session. So Pat Freiermuth today with the media confirming to them that the offense beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense 6-1 in seven shots. I mean, to put that into perspective, you see 4-3, 5-2. Very rarely do you see 6-1 when it's Steelers versus Steelers, like Mike Tomlin says. Offense showed up and showed out today. And obviously you take that with a grain of salt because it's not even a game setting. We're talking about practice, man, Allen Iverson. And a lot of that might have to do with, and Juan Thornhill was talking about this with Chris Halleck, who's one of our guests later on in the program. I saw that making its rounds on TikTok or Twitter, whatever, wherever I saw the soundbite. Juan Thornhill said, you know, we hit more in training camp than other teams tend to do this time of year. And I think that, and this is what Thornhill said, and I agree, I think that that was on full display on Saturday in Jacksonville. Like, you could tell that the Steelers were very much more the physical team and had been more physical in their training camp practices leading up to that first preseason game. So the offense and the way that the Steelers conduct practice at training camp might have a good chunk to do with the outcome of 6-1 against the Buccaneers and seven shots this afternoon at the joint practice. But regardless, I think it's worth talking about because we had talked time and time again in the early parts of training camp how this offense was struggling to come along and how Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf were not on the same page and were missing the boat on some targets and connection between the two of them. I think it's safe to say now that the offense, and especially Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, have made some significant strides, especially in chemistry. And that's the one thing that you have to worry about, right? Or the one thing that we did worry about when it came to Aaron Rodgers coming in here was, how acclimated is he going to be? How comfortable is he going to be with Arthur Smith, with Mike Tomlin, and the guys that he's playing with, the 10 other guys on the field with him? Because he didn't show up until June, until minicamp, and didn't participate in any team drills in minicamp. So the first 11-on-11 stuff that he did as a member of the Steelers was back on July 24th in that first training camp practice. So it's nice to see that the chemistry, at least on paper and what we, you know, we can observe, is coming along with the offense. We're going to talk about the joint practice more at 7:25 with DK Pittsburgh Sports' Chris Halleck. He's going to join the fold. And we'll touch base ahead of Saturday's preseason game against Tampa Bay as well. Aaron Rodgers comes. TJ Watt's deal gets done. And it seemed like that all the drama was put to bed. And there were reports out there that suggested that maybe Mike Tomlin interjected a little bit more than maybe he does in those situations to get TJ Watt's contract done before training camp practice started because Mike Tomlin wanted to avoid any or all distractions at training camp. And that's exactly what this team needs right this very minute. It is very much win now. It is very much we're going all in on 2025 with the amount of veterans that we have and the moves that we've made. That is abundantly clear to anybody that's followed the Steelers along to this point in preparation for the 2025 season. Because the team is constructed the way that it is, drama is not an option. Drama is something that cannot be prolonged. And here we are at the conclusion of training camp in Latrobe. Cam Hayward's at the forefront of what I think is the biggest Steelers contract-related drama since Le'Veon Bell in 2018. I seriously can't think of any other situation, and it's ironic as hell that it's happening to Cam Hayward. Because this was a guy, and I've said this before, I've gone on the record saying this, and I'll do it again. You know, for the capacity that I cover the team, and for anybody that covers the team in a professional setting, it's frowned upon to, you know, wear a player's jersey or wear the team gear. And I grew up a Steelers fan, and I had several players' jerseys growing up and through high school and into college. I don't wear jerseys anymore because I'm around the team and covering the team more. But if there was one guy's jersey that I would purchase and wear to a game as a fan, it would be Cam Hayward's. That was the opinion that I had, and for the most part, still have, as we sit here at 6:15 on August 14th. Which is why I'm so frustrated at Cam Hayward, at his agents, and at the situation as a whole that this is going on. I seriously cannot think of anything between Le'Veon Bell sitting out until now that was more drama filled when it came to a Steelers quarterback. And you can correct me if I'm wrong at 412-928-9370. But think about all the deals and all the big time deals that have gotten done from then until now. TJ Watt twice, second time a little bit messier than the first, but both done before the season started. Minka holds in. Deontay Johnson holds in. Both of those guys get deals done in practice at training camp. This is messy and messier, much messier than TJ Watt a couple of weeks ago. And the messiest contract situation, at least I think the Steelers have had since Le'Veon Bell. And I hate to say that, especially about a guy like Cam Hayward. This is also a guy that joked around last year. Again, last year when he signed a new 3-year deal. Oh, I've got family in Cleveland. As if he could threaten to not want to play for the Steelers anymore and go finish up his career with that miserable franchise. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that was thrown out. How about this time around? Cam Hayward saying, in so many words, that he's considering sitting out at the start of the season if something doesn't get done with his contract here. Granted, I don't think that's going to happen. But the fact that that's being thrown out there straight from the horse's mouth, to me, makes it the messiest contract situation the Steelers have had in several years. And it's incredibly ironic that it's happening to Captain Cam. Oh, surrounding Captain Cam. It's almost like Chris Boswell's isn't even going on because of how much Cam Hayward and his gripes with how much money he makes has stolen the limelight. Listen, in the grand scheme of things, is it something that's going to get done? Yeah. I mean, my gut as not even just flexing my reporter muscles or anything. I've followed the Steelers and I've loved the Steelers since I was born. Basing it off of just the vibe that I get about how the Steelers do business from just following them my whole life, I think the Cam Hayward deal or situation will work itself out. Whether that's they move some money, which is probably the most likely outcome, that they move some money from his guaranteed stuff next year into this year, so it hikes up the base salary for 2025 and makes him a little bit happier about, you know, where he ranks in D linemen and defensive tackles as far as pay goes for this season. I think that's going to happen. And a lot of people that cover the team and that are more in touch with what's going on and cover the team every day, they think it's going to happen too. It's going to get done. But you can't help but ask the question, and I'm not quite there yet, but I will ask the question of how much does it really tarnish Cam Hayward's legacy? And that's been thrown around a ton this week and ever since the Adam Schefter report dropped about Cam Hayward and his gripes. So I don't want to keep hammering nails into that coffin, but I just want to highlight how alarming it is that that is a serious discussion to be had and that there's a overwhelming amount of people out there that listen to this station and love the team, and it might even be a majority of you, that say, screw Cam, done with him, trade him, cut him, forget everything that he did. Legacy tarnished. That's a legitimate discussion that we're having. And if you would have told me 365 days ago that we'd be having that discussion about that guy, excuse me, I would tell you were crazy. But here we are. What? Less than a month before the season starts, a season that needs zilch, zip, nada, a negative amount of distraction when it comes to how well that these guys can play together and achieve what they want to achieve. To me, distraction is almost not even an option. And I think the Steelers sent that message when they shipped George Pickens to Dallas. And maybe so much to an extent of shipping Minka Fitzpatrick out of town as well. Distraction was something that couldn't happen. And here we are with a guy that I think if you asked a lot of people would have said you're crazy to think that this would be happening around Cam Hayward. Football Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can count on, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The NFL talk will continue at 412-928-9370. And it will eat up a chunk of the show tonight as we'll hear from Mike Tomlin, Andy Weidel, who obviously both spoke today, and we'll dive into as much as we can from the joint practice with the Buccaneers with Chris Halleck at 7:25. But a very special guest coming up in the next segment. The Steel City is going to be well represented once again on the PGA Tour in 2026 by, throw out him being from Pittsburgh aside, if Neil Shipley was from Boise, Idaho, where he's playing this weekend on the Korn Ferry Tour, he would still be one of the most easily rootable golfers out there. Just one of the coolest young guys you could ever talk to, watch videos of, watch play the game of golf and succeed. Easy guy to root for. And the fact that he's from our hometown is a giant, giant bonus. And he's going to join us next. He's won off the lead at the Albertsons Boise Open. Shot an 8-under-63 today. A couple of guys are 8-under, the leader minus 9. So we'll ask him about his day, how the tournament will shape out, and obviously the excitement level that he has to compete on the PGA Tour in 2026. Pittsburgh Sun, Neil Shipley, joins us next on the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We head to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline and talk to Pittsburgh native, headed to the PGA Tour, earning his tour status for 2026, Mr. Neil Shipley. Neil, first of all, thanks for taking some time to join us tonight, man. I know you're busy this weekend trying to win another Korn Ferry event, but I want to thank you for coming on and congratulate you for earning your tour card for 2026, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it and excited to be on and on the airways in Pittsburgh.
So 8-under-63 today at the first round of the Albertsons Boise Open. Let's start right there, man. What worked well for you out there? You only one off the lead after day one.
Yeah. Putter was definitely hot today. It's a kind of a short course, but it's tree lined, so we kept the driver, between the hedges, and we're able to make a lot of putts for birdie and a couple good par saves. It was really solid day overall, excited to hopefully ring up a low one again tomorrow.
So Korn Ferry Tour members can achieve their PGA Tour card by winning a select amount of events, and you've already won two Korn Ferry events in 2025, one in April, one in July, and you had to come back for some pretty significant deficits in the final round to get there, four shots and seven shots. So I want to ask you, when you go into a final round and obviously needing to make up as much ground as you have to in order to claim first place, what's the mindset on the first tee and preparing for, an uphill battle like that?
Yeah, I think obviously the focus isn't on winning itself. It's more just about our process and, just that cliche of taking it one shot at a time. But I think, in both those wins, I played really good on my front nine and got up near the lead. The mindset sort of became let's put pressure on these guys behind us. Let's make those guys that are coming in the clubhouse behind us work for it. Put a number on that leaderboard, that they got to look at when they got, five, six, seven holes at something, that they got to worry about. Cause, those guys who slept on the leader in the last couple groups, they're the ones that kind of have the pressure on them to go out and perform and try and win. It's no one's expecting me to come back from a seven shot deficit or a four shot deficit, and so I try to use that to my advantage.
Talking to Neil Shipley, Pittsburgh native, headed to the PGA Tour in 2026, earning his tour card. So, Neil, I have to ask you, just what's the overall excitement level to be able to compete in PGA Tour events starting in 2026?
I'm so excited. You know, I got a taste of it last summer playing on a bunch of sponsors exemptions. And, you know, it's just the best tour in the world. And I'm really excited to compete against the best players in the world. It's just great to compete against those guys week in and week out on some of the best courses in the country. And we're traveling to those places in the country at the best time to be there too. So it's just, it's going to be awesome. Really excited for the opportunity and, pumped to hopefully go win a couple tournaments next year.
A lot of positive momentum in your career is since you've turned professional, obviously making waves, as a low amateur at the Masters. And now you're headed to the PGA Tour. In that time frame, like, what do you think, what aspect or aspects of your game do you think have evolved the most? Have you worked on the most and have really kind of gotten you to where you are, you know, right this very minute?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've put a lot of work into, you know, my putting, speed control. That's something that I think in college is not, it wasn't the best, that's for sure. And I think we put a lot of time into that. And I feel like I'm one of the better putters out here on the Korn Ferry Tour this year. Had a really good season with the flat stick. And, you know, I think that I've really gotten to become a better wedge player. You know, and that's super important out here on the Korn Ferry Tour because we play a lot of courses that are maybe a little bit shorter than what you play on the PGA Tour. And you got to be really dialed in with your wedges. So I think I've, you know, that at one point in my career was definitely a weakness. And it's, I think, starting to become more of a strength of ours. And I think it's really exciting that, you know, I've was such a solid player before this season on the Korn Ferry Tour, and it feels like I'm only getting better.
Yeah, and with that too, you talk about having to adjust based off of where you're playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, but like geographically, like you're in Boise, how does, and what goes into preparing for a course in Boise, Idaho, and how do you maybe adjust how you play there versus a course in Florida or Georgia where it might be a little bit more humid, swampy, things like that?
Yeah, well, definitely kind of first priority every week is figuring out how far our clubs are going to go. And, you know, fortunate that I have a couple of different launch monitors that can help me figure that out. And, you know, we can bring on the course or onto the range. So we get a gauge early in the week of how far all of our clubs are going. And then, you know, we come to Boise. It's pretty dry out here. The golf course is pretty firm. So, you know, you have to be a lot more conscious of how much the ball is going to roll out and roll forward once it hits the green. You know, sometimes when we go to courses that are, you know, where it's humid, a lot of Midwest courses in the summer, or maybe, you know, down in Florida or Georgia, you have to be a little bit more concerned of how much spin you're going to suck it back. So it's definitely, you know, adjustment week to week. And it's something that I think you just with repetition and doing it over and over again, you start to become accustomed to adjusting every week to the new conditions.
That's Neil Shipley here on the Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh native, Korn Ferry Tour golfer, headed to the PGA Tour in 2026. He earned his tour card. Neil, obviously growing up in Pittsburgh, you played a lot of golf in and around Western PA, and I'm sure you've been asked this, you know, a million different ways, but like what and what about Western PA golf and the courses that you've played have kind of shaped you into the player that you've become today?
Yeah, I think and the courses around Western PA and, you know, honestly, too, the access that these courses give to, you know, organizations like the West Penn Golf, you know, to have tournaments, have the West Penn Open or West Penn Amateur or West Penn Junior at some really quality golf courses around town. You know, we get accustomed to playing super fast greens, firm greens. I think that, you know, that's really helped me when you come out to the tour and you're playing greens that are at the speed that you're used to back home or maybe even slower. You know, I feel like no matter how fast the greens get out here on the Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour, it's hard to get faster than what you see in Western Pennsylvania. And I think just because of the Oakmont effect and Oakmontitis, every club seems to want to have the greens at a 14 every day. And it's fun to come home and play some playing surfaces that are that good.
Yeah, and you brought up Oakmont, so I'll ask you. Unfortunately, you know, you weren't there for the U.S. Open this year as a player, but, like, how much pride do you take in the fact that Not only is the U.S. Open able to come to Oakmont every like 7-8 years or so, but it's a consistent site. The USGA is very public about how much they love coming to Oakmont in the area. As somebody that grew up around that place and is a member now, like how much pride do you take in the fact that like, man, this is one of the premier places in the world to play this tournament, and it obviously draws a lot of attention every time that the U.S. Open comes to Oakmont?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really blessed to be a member there now, and I honestly think that too, you know, just having it in town, sometimes we take it for granted just how lucky we are to have a place like Oakmont. It's such a special course, and it's built to test the best players in the world, and you know, day in, day out, it's just so difficult, and but at the same time, so much fun to play. So I feel really blessed, and it's awesome too, just the USGA's involvement in golf in Pittsburgh. You know, some of that, you know, they've donated a good bit of money to a couple causes. I think this just recently, during the U.S. Open, they chose to donate to this, a couple of public golf courses. I think it was South Park, the Bob O'Connor course, and the North Park golf course. They chose to send some money that way and, you know, create an impact in the community. So it's awesome that, you know, not only do we get to have a great event like the U.S. Open every 8 or 9 years, but the USGA is leaving a positive impact in the golf community in Pittsburgh.
As you followed along and were able to watch some of that as much as you were able to, like, and you saw those guys struggle at Oakmont, were you surprised at the way that everything unfolded? And I guess a two-parter, JJ Spahn's putt to win it is one of the cooler finishes to any golf tournament, at least I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, that back nine was absolute chaos. And I think the Oakmont plus the weather conditions, I mean, just made the perfect storm where anyone could have won that tournament coming down the back nine. And it was so exciting to watch. That finish was just, I know a lot of members were maybe not so happy that the putt went in because we would have loved to see even par win the tournament and have nobody under par. But, you know, seeing that go in and his reaction as caddy, I mean, that's what us guys, we work so hard for. That's moments for that. You know, JJ worked his entire life to hit that putt, and couldn't be happier for him. And I'm just pumped that he's part of the Oakmont legacy forever now.
We're talking to Neil Shipley, Pittsburgh native. He earned his PGA Tour card for 2026. So, Neil, how does that work, if you can kind of show us how the sausage is made a little bit? Like, do you know when exactly you'll play your first PGA Tour event next year, and how that'll fall since you've got your card now?
Yeah. So, you know, it depends. You know, some things will depend on where I end up in the points list as to what tournaments I can get into. The higher up in the points list, the more access you have. Number one, you know, the number one gets US Open and a couple other things, but I should be starting my season next year in Hawaii for the Sony Open. And so super pumped to head out there in early January. And I've never been to Hawaii, so it's going to be a great first visit.
Avoid the cold a little bit in January too, as much as possible.
it's definitely, you know, Pittsburgh in January, as much as I love Pittsburgh, it's not the best place to be that time of year.
As you kind of go through the rest of this Korn Ferry season too, right? So like the leader at the end of the season in Korn Ferry points gets exemptions into what, the Players and the U.S. Open next year as well. You can correct me if I'm wrong there.
You're right there.
Talk about the motivation. I mean, you're third right now. You have a chance to win this weekend. Just the work that you have to do and the motivation to try and get to the top of the points list here.
Yeah. I think I'm like 400-ish points behind, and a win would get me 500 points. So, I mean, really trying to win. That's my goal. I think every tournament coming into the clubhouse here is trying to go out and win and play well. And, you know, I think that's been my mindset the last few weeks. And yeah, I think I'm on a streak of 5 top 10s in a row, which I think that's, you know, focusing on winning. And when you don't win, you end up kind of close is kind of been a good strategy for us. And I think, I'd love to get that U.S. Open exemption. It's awesome when you don't have to qualify for U.S. Open. It's the longest day in golf is just that, a very long day. And it's also just kind of a coin flip. If you have a great day, you'll be playing in U.S. Open in 2 weeks. And if you don't have a great day, then you're on to the next one. So it'd be awesome to knock that out of the way without having to stress about it.
So Neil is one off the lead, 8-under-63 today, round one at the Albertsons Boise Open on the Korn Ferry Tour. Neil, I appreciate the time, man. Good luck the rest of the weekend. And while I have you real quick, as a Pittsburgh guy, how do we feel about the Steelers heading into this season?
I'm really excited. I think that we've only gotten better. I'm excited about the offensive line. Yeah, I think we got some young guys in there, and I think some of the draft picks will help us out. I think if that offensive line can hold up, we'll be able to score a good amount. And, you know, to be honest, when we got T.J. Watt on the other side of the ball, we don't need to score that much to win. So, I think that we're in a good spot. And, I would never bet against Mike Tomlin. I think he's we're locked in for 9 wins, it seems like.
There you have it. Neil Shipley. Neil, man, again, thanks for hopping on with us tonight. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the tour card. Good luck the rest of the way this weekend, and we're looking forward to watching you in the future, man, compete on the PGA Tour. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Neil Shipley, Pittsburgh Zone, headed to the PGA Tour in 2026, and just an all-around really good dude, and he's easy to root for. There you have it, Jolie. As long as Mike Tomlin's around, by hook or by crook, a winning season is upon us.
That's why you got to take the Steelers win total, the over, whenever the number is 7.5 or lower.
So Neil, again, is competing at the Boise Open this weekend in Boise, Idaho, the Albertsons Boise Open. A good day today, 8-under-63, and I believe he started, I should have asked him this, but I believe he started on the back nine and started with 10-11-12, eagle birdie, which, you want to talk about momentum and good juju, that is it, 4-under-3 to start your day. Get you to 8-under for the tournament, 1 back after 1 day. So hopefully Neil can keep it going. If Neil's able to finish at the top of the Korn Ferry points list at the end of the season, he automatically gets exemptions into the players in the U.S. Open next year. And I had said this leading up to that longest day in golf that Neil was talking about. You've got to play 36 holes to qualify for the U.S. Open and finish, depending on where you go to your qualifier, you've got to finish in the top 3, 4, sometimes it's 2. That's what Matt Vogt did to qualify for Oakmont and stole the limelight there. I wanted Neil so bad to qualify, and I'm sure we all did, but I wanted Neil to qualify and make the cut, and he didn't even have to be in contention to win. I just relished at the thought of him walking up 18 at Oakmont on Sunday and just a bunch of people waving terrible towels. So hopefully we can make that happen for our guy in 2033 when the U.S. Open next returns to Oakmont Country Club. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right. Really glad we got a chance to talk to Neil, but we'll get back into the Steelers talk next at 412-928-9370. None of the starters, none of the vets are playing on Saturday against Tampa Bay in the preseason. How does that make you feel? Do you agree or disagree? 412-928-9370. And as Cam Hayward continues to make waves, you can sound off on Cam Hayward too at 412-928-9370. Your phone calls and more coming up on the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove.